brought to you by Penguin.
Wedding Night by Sophie Kinsella. Read by Beth Chalmers, Finty Williams, and Michael Fenton Stevens.
Prologue. Arthur. Young people. With their hurrying and their worrying and their wanting all the answers now. They wear me out, the poor harried things. Don't come back, I always tell them. Don't come back. Youth is still where you left it, and that's where it should stay. Anything that's worth taking on life's journey, you'll already have taken with you. 20 years I've been saying this, but do they listen? Do they, hell? Here comes another of them now, panting and puffing as he reaches the top of the cliff. Late 30s, I'd guess. Attractive enough, against the blue sky. Looks a bit like a politician. Do I mean that? Maybe a movie star. I don't remember his face from the old days. Not that that means anything. These days I barely even recall my own face when I glimpse it in the mirror. I can see this chap's gaze, raking the surroundings, taking in me sitting in my chair under my favourite olive tree. "Are you Arthur?" he says abruptly. "Guilty?" I scan him adroitly. Looks well off, wearing one of those expensive logo polo shirts. Probably good for a few double scotches. "You must want a drink," I say pleasantly. Always useful to steer the conversation in the direction of the bar early on. "I don't want a drink," he says. "I want to know what happened." I can't help stifling a yawn. So predictable. He wants to know what happened. Another merchant banker having a midlife crisis, returning to the scene of his youth, the scene of the crime. "Leave it where it was," I want to answer. "Turn round. Return to your adult, problematic life, because you won't solve it here." But he wouldn't believe me. They never do. "Dear boy," I say gently, "you grew up. That's what happened." "No," he says impatiently, and rubs his sweaty brow. "You don't understand. I'm here for a reason. Listen to me." He comes forward a few paces, an impressive height and figure against the sun, intentness of purpose on his handsome face. "I'm here for a reason," he repeats. "I wasn't going to get involved, but I can't help it. I have to do this. I want to know what exactly happened."
Chapter 1. Lottie. 20 days earlier. I've bought him an engagement ring. Was that a mistake? I mean, it's not a girly ring. It's a plain band with a tiny diamond in it, which the guy in the shop talked me into. If Richard doesn't like the diamond, he can always turn it round. Or not wear it at all. Keep it on his nightstand, or in a box, or whatever. Or I could take it back and never mention it. Actually, I'm losing confidence in this ring by the minute, but I just felt bad that he wouldn't have anything. Men don't get the greatest deal out of a proposal. They have to set up the occasion, they have to get down on one knee, they have to ask the question, and they have to buy a ring. And what do we have to do? Say yes. Or no, obviously. I wonder what proportion of marriage proposals end in a yes, and what proportion end in a no. I open my mouth automatically to share this thought with Richard, then hastily close it again. Idiot. "Sorry?" Richard glances up. "Nothing," I beam. "Just great menu." I wonder if he's bought a ring already. I don't mind either way. On the one hand, it's fabulously romantic if he has. On the other hand, it's fabulously romantic to choose one together. It's a win-win. I sip my water and smile lovingly at Richard. We're sitting at a corner table overlooking the river. It's a new restaurant on the Strand, just up from the Savoy. All black and white marble and vintage...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?